Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the co-founders
of Fruit Loots.
So the name Fruit Loots came about because Alan and I were thinking about all of the things that inspired us as kids of a particular age. And we thought of, you know, obviously the cereal brands of our childhood, but then the idea that we could be two fruits that have really great loot was kind of like how the name came about. So spin that around however way you want to, but that's how Fruit Loots was born.
When people get a Fruit Loots box, they can really expect a lot of fun, whimsy, and humor built into our design. We really just wanted to capture a sense of nostalgia. Every sleeve design is unique in and of itself, so it truly is one of those like Easter egg cereal box moments that we want everyone to experience when they receive a gift from us.
So there are three easy ways for you to shop Fruit Loots. Number one, go online and shop our pre-picked, curated gift boxes. All you have to do is pick the theme and then add your message and send it on its way. Number two is build your own box. You pick your gifts, you pick your gift wrap, and then you add your own personalized message to the box, and then we send it on its way. And the third easiest way to shop Fruit Loots is just go on and shop for yourself. So by all means, go online, shop for all the really cool things that we have. There's a lot of great gifts on there for everyone and for you.
Hey, everyone. Today on the podcast, I'm thrilled to welcome the talented Basil Marauner, a director and cinematographer whose latest documentary, Dandelions, is making waves ahead of its premiere at the Santa Barbara International Film Festival. Basil has a unique vision that captures the essence of human emotion and connection, skills he's honed over the years, notably with his work at his Mirage Studios. His journey to Russia, spurred by a mysterious Facebook message, led to the creation of Dandelions, a film that delves into deep family secrets and showcases Basil's dedication to storytelling. The documentary not only explores personal history, but also touches on universal themes of identity, belonging, and the complexities of family dynamics. Take a look.
Спасибо, что приехал, появился вообще. Давай, прощайся со всеми.
I have heartburn.
You have heartburn? My hands are sweating.
I gotta tell you about something that happened 8 years ago. I got a Facebook message one day from a dude whose name was Nikolai Ulanich.
Did he offer you something?
I thought they were like the Nigerian scammers,
yeah, like but
from Russia.
You might not be able to go, Basil.
No, you gotta, I have to go, Mom.
You and me, equivalent of cross the border, never came back, don't tell anybody.
I've been conditioned by my parents to believe that my dad was my biological dad, which is not seeming like that's the case.
Why would you be making this public?
We just have to make it seem like we're not sneaking in the rush with a bunch of camera phones. I need proof. So they sent photos.
Такая память у меня есть, что там человек какой-то был. Если они были, если я просто их как бы made up.
Да, другой путь. Ты знаешь?
You don't like the worst character that sneak in the cameras over
you. Don't have
I think you have
to lie to you for 27 years and then call me a liar for
yes,
not saying
you are a liar.
I feel nauseous and sick. It feels like a snowball. Like I pushed the snowball, and now I'm trying to just keep up with it.
Ну ваш, конечно, приезд называется чудо. Есть такое слово чудо. Это.
Has been things for you and Tommy.
Yeah.
Basil, welcome to the show, my friend. How are we doing?
Thanks, Scott. Grateful to be here. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a lot of press going on. Santa Barbara Film Fest was one of my favorites. I lived in Ventura for quite a while, so congratulations on that, and congratulations on an amazing film.
Thanks so much. Yeah, definitely excited to get it in front of people, and hope it resonates with the audience.
There you go. And Journey of Love, I mean, it took you 8 years to kind of complete it, everything, while you're thinking about it and who you're going to talk to and how it's going to affect everyone. Give my listeners a little overview of the story, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, no problem. So I received a Facebook message out of the blue with two teens claiming to know me and claiming that their father was actually my father. And this sounded outrageous to me because I grew up with my family, knowing who my parents are, with the younger brother. And so when I received this news, I almost didn't believe it until they sent photos kind of, you know, showing, hey, that this is the reality you didn't know about, and now you do. So it took 8 years to integrate everything. And my brother, who's considerably younger than me, we're 13 years apart. I waited until he, you know, reached 20 years old until I came forward and said, hey, Ben, I got something to tell you, but I want to make a movie about it. So that's how the film starts.
It's a fantastic way to start it. I think just the emotion between the two of you shows the kind of bond you had as brothers, half brothers or not. I think that was a beautiful moment. I love how he reacts to it and just kind of the overall feel for it. Now, originally this was kind of conceived as episodic, right? You had, from what I read, you'd had like 300 hours worth of shooting, like lots of stuff to go through.
Yeah, it's a lot of footage. We were shooting nonstop for essentially over a month, because once we said, okay, hey, we're going to go to Russia, it was shooting everything every day because we didn't know what was going to happen. So at the end of the day, we had 350 hours worth of footage, and over 7 years, we whittled that down into first an episodic show and then ultimately into the version of the story now, which is an hour and a half film. So it was a very long process, but we're really happy with how it turned out.
Oh, you should be, my friend. It's so great. Now, talk about, you got this message. This is kind of in the social media age where now nobody trusts these things, right? Everybody has the long-lost boyfriends trying to get a hold of you or trying to get money. What did you initially think of it, and how did you kind of vet that out?
Yeah, I mean, at first, I was in shock. You know, when you get a message like that, and it's a universal story. I've talked to people, you know, you yourself said you had a similar situation. And when you get a message like that, your first reaction is one of disbelief. And it takes some time to just emotionally take that in. And then, you know, I had to ask them for evidence. And so I asked them for photos, and they were able to send them. And I saw a photo of my mom with a man I had never seen before, and baby pictures of me I'd never seen before. And at that point, you know, I mean, now you could be like, is this AI? Am I looking at some sort of fabricated thing? But yeah, I mean, a lot of the journey for me, I almost felt like I wasn't living in my actual truth and my reality. You know, it seemed like a made-up situation, but it was just a story in my life that now I've accepted.
And it's a great background of your journey. I mean, you grew up in Russia, you emigrated here with your parents, you've lived all over. I mean, you spent a lot of time in Asia doing your filming and everything. So what's it like? I think I read a quote that you get in one magazine where home is more of a feeling for you than a place. I think that's amazing. What was it like going back to Russia, let alone all the family dynamics, but just traveling back to this country that you were born and raised in?
Yeah, it's a great question. I, you know, that idea of home is wherever you are, that you carry it with you. It was actually, you know, funny enough, in the film, I have a prop from a different narrative film that I did, and it's a little crocheted house, and actually carried around with me during the entire production. And you can see it. It's like an Easter egg in some of the shots. We set it up in the background. And so it's that idea. But it's something that I didn't know how I was going to feel going back to Russia. I'd never been since we immigrated when I was 5 years old. We moved to New York. You know, my parents as immigrants basically tried to pull me away from that heritage as much as they could, as often immigrant families do. You know, you try to really Americanize. So right. For me coming back to the place of my birth, I was surprised how I actually could feel some of my memories kind of coming back. And that's why the film is called Dandelions, because I have a little dandelion that falls on me and it prompts a whole memory. So I was so surprised that, you know, that where we come from, it's somehow deep in our psyche still, in our being. And it was a great surprise to actually feel that coming out during the filming.
I bet that was a very touching moment too. You see how the title resonates in the film. It's a kind of the recurring theme through there. Now, you've been a filmmaker for a long time. Talk about when you're at the end of this thing, or even during it, it's such a personal experience. Have you ever thought about maybe I should turn this into a feature film, let someone else act out this story? Or what, was there ever a point where it got too personal for you?
You know, when I set out to make the film, I really did it as a identity exploration for myself. This is something that I needed to do for myself. So the movie became the vehicle for me to do that. And, you know, if I hadn't made a movie of it or filmed it, I don't know if I would have had the courage. I would have just, you know, kind of maybe gone over, maybe not. So the film was a way to force me to go and explore my own personal identity. And, you know, it came too when I finished the film and got to screen it in a private screening to my parents. And what the film did was it healed a lot of wounds, a lot of family wounds, because they were able to see the entire journey. They were able to see my perspective. They were able to release their fears. And at that point, I knew that this is why I made the film, was to have this moment of healing in my family. Family. And so now, of course, I'm excited to share it with the world. But my original intention was nothing more than just explore my own identity through the process. And so whether it becomes anything more, I'm open to that, of course, but I feel really complete in what the film has done for me personally and my family.
Well, the wrap up of the documentary was amazing. I'll say your father, who raised you and everything, your father's raw emotion, your raw emotion, your mom's eventual raw emotion there. It just really, I think the catharsis took a minute, but you could see it happening. You could see it kind of slowly spread across everyone's faces. So I really loved that part of the filmmaking. And your brother, every step of the way, I mean, I can't believe how supportive he is. Talk about your guys' relationship a bit.
Yeah, Ben and I have always been really close. He moved to LA in his very early teens. And so I was almost a father figure to him as he was pursuing his music career and acting career in LA. And so he was just the natural, you know, person in my life that I said, if I'm going to go on this journey, I need to tell Ben and ask him to come on it with me. And there, you know, because it is our life and it's really vulnerable, the entire experience is so vulnerable, you know, having Ben there by my side as my brother and going on that exploration just made it that much easier for me to receive the emotional support. And we knew that sitting down with my parents, which is what happens in the climax of the film, I couldn't imagine doing that with him by my side. You know, it's a very intense situation. And I think one of the things that we really tried to do with the film, and I hope that audiences resonate with, is they see a part of themselves and somebody in the film, because the film presents everybody's perspective in kind of an equal way, whether it's my parents or me or my brother. And I hope that when somebody's watching it, they can really see themselves in my mom or in my journey. And what it does is I think it opens up conversations. And so I think I'm really proud of that for that.
Oh, you should be. It really, and even on the other side, from your dad's perspective and your grandmother that you didn't remember everything, I mean, it does have these great points of view from everybody. And Ben, I mean, his music is featured in the film. He is an amazing guitar player, and his he has original music in there. So good on him for that as well. Talk about your experience. You've done a lot of cinematography. It's gorgeously shot. Tell how that cinematography experience came into the filmmaking, because it is a beautiful film.
Thank you. You know, creating the film itself from a visual standpoint was tricky, because in the film, I am the subject and the filmmaker. And so figuring out how to tell my story visually and at the same time show my perspective was something that me and Mitch, the cinematographer, were figuring out. So I actually operate one of the cameras in the film. And so I shoot on a 50 millimeter lens, which is basically the closest thing to human vision, right? So in key moments of the film, when I'm meeting somebody for the first time, you're seeing it literally through my lens and through my eyes. So there's moments like that that are captured through my camera. But, you know, in order to really track my story, that's where Mitch's camera comes in. And he was kind of capturing all the other moments. But between the mix of those two perspectives, it becomes a really intimate film visually. And, you know, I think it shows something that not a lot of audiences see, which is kind of your general kind of what life is like in Russia. And that's not something we're often exposed to on camera.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was amazing just to see the different countryside and the city and the apartment where your brother lived and everything. It was definitely an expose that I had not seen before. So I thought that was a very interesting element to it. I mean, obviously, you're going to have these family dynamics. You're meeting family that you didn't really know existed or didn't remember existed. Talk about what was the most challenging parts of making the film? Was that part more challenging? Was the actual filmmaking in Russia? What did you find were some of the hindrances or the challenges in making this documentary?
Yeah, I think going to film in Russia was definitely a physical hindrance, you know, just from getting even the paperwork to get over there and then figuring out how we're going to sneak into Russia with camera equipment. And we had to break it up into different suitcases and then get through security. So our sound mixer, Mara, who's bringing in the sound gear, she ended up getting stopped. And, you know, we're watching, you know, from across the way, thinking, okay, this is it. They're going to confiscate all our gear and it's going to be over, you know? But so there were some things like that just about filming in Russia that we were concerned about in terms of surveillance, in terms of being stopped and asked for paperwork. But ultimately, we kept a really low profile with how we were shooting it with the DSLR cameras. And so we were able to, for the most part, not really be bothered. And then just the emotional challenges of this is my life and putting my life on camera and trying to be, you know, not trying to be, but wanting to have an authentic experience. And then also trying to work in my brain as a filmmaker at the same time. Just that duality of subject and filmmaker was definitely a challenge. But it was interesting because basically a week into shooting, that filmmaker part almost became automatic and started happening automatically. And I was able just to be myself on camera, which is uncomfortable for me because I always work behind the camera. So, so that was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, I love that. That was actually my next question. I think you answered it beautifully. It's like, how do you keep that objective viewpoint as a filmmaker while you are the subject of the film? So, yeah, I think you handled that balance very, very well. What was your initial expectations going into it? And do you think they met them? Did they exceed them? What were you expecting from a personal aspect and from a filming aspect?
Oh, Scott, that's a tough question. I don't know. Expectations are tricky, right? That's the thing. My ex-partner, Flavia, she has a song called Expectations, and she's in the film. She's also a music artist. And yeah, expectations are always a challenging one. I think that I just wanted to meet my biological dad. I wanted to meet my siblings. I wanted to understand who I am better as a person just from filling in those gaps that I knew nothing about. You know, they were essentially memories that I couldn't complete in my brain until I did that. And so that's all I expected in the moment. And then everything that came after that was, as it was happening, was honestly a surprise. So I was really along for the ride. And I thought the end was going to be completely different. And you've seen the film, and the end is kind of a, you know, a twist in a way, because I was expecting to have a really different experience at the end with my parents. And, you know, it just goes to show that expectations, you don't really know what you're going to get, but at the end of the day, you get what life, you know, what needs to tell you in the moment. So
exactly. Yeah. Well said. Well, we're running out of time here in a bit. Let me know, you talked about it briefly already, but talk about what you hope the audience gets out of this, and where the film goes from here. Like I said, it's been episodic. Now you have this big premiere at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. Where's the next step from there?
Yeah, so to answer the first part of your question, I think I hope the film, when people watch it, when they resonate with the people in it, with the, they see themselves in the film in a way, hopefully, that it starts conversations. Maybe it inspires people to have the sort of transparent conversations that having with your family is really important, because it can lead to moments of truth and healing, and ultimately create, just a better experience in your life. As far as where the film goes next, we'll continue our festival run and hopefully bring it to the screen so people can see it in their homes.
Can't wait till that happens, because like I said, it has some great messages. It resonates. What's next for you? I mean, you run the studio. You have projects going all the time. How are you keeping yourself creatively through this? What are your main projects you're working on right now?
Yeah, so with Mirage Studio, we do a variety of projects, but the next project that I'm working on is also a feature documentary, and it's about the immigration with the American-Mexican border. But instead of talking about, immigrants immigrating into America, what I'm talking about is the elderly communities on the borders in the U.S. that are actually leaving the U.S. because they want to go to a place where they feel supported at the later years of their life. So there's communities right over the border in Mexico where you have a lot of U.S. expatriates that go there because they can get better health care. They have a community there of like-minded people. So it's exploring some of those characters and asking the question of why sometimes the American system kind of fails those people in their elder years.
Wow, that's a great take on that. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Now, I mean, it's hard to tell. It's almost like asking which is your favorite child, but you do so much, from commercials to music videos to documentaries to feature films. Is there anything that really kind of sparks those creative juices more than anything else that you really like to dig your teeth into when you can?
You know, for me, it's just an exploration of identity. I think one of the projects that in the last years that I'm really proud of, and I think your viewers would be interested and listeners would be interested in as well, is Flavia, my ex-partner. She did a music video called Them, and that was with the trans community in Los Angeles. So that's something Mirage Studio produced and I directed. So we got to work with a lot of the trans community in LA, and so they're featured in that music video. So it streams on Spotify, it's online on YouTube under Them, and the artist is Flavia.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I told you off air that I really want to connect again after we're done with this, because I think there's so much part of the LGBT community. It's so much about chosen family and family identity and everything. And this kind of dovetails so into it, to see yours and your brother's great relationship. And like I said, my story is a little weird, that I found out at 14, or I think it's 17, that my dad wasn't my real dad. My brothers were my half brothers as well. So we have lots to talk about. And Flavia was an amazing light to the movie, seeing kind of getting the translation on both sides, and just that smile of hers was amazing. So congratulations on the film festival. I'm so looking forward to more people seeing this. Your studio website is probably one of the most beautiful websites I've seen in a while. Give everyone your website to your studio address so they can check out the things you do, and if any of my creatives are looking for a production studio.
That sounds great, Scott. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank
you. I love you down to your bones. Naked and afraid, they tell me.
So we're going to try, our friend actually made this. So yay, gay people.
It's vodka. Vodka
wow,
soda.
It's vodka soda's different flavors. Look mm-hmm. how cute this packaging is. Oh my God, the cans are so cute.
So no. cute.
Oh my nice. God, watermelon.
Okay,
oh my God.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor, and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media, and be sure to check out our website, www.leftofstraightradio.com, for contests and other news and information. See you next week.